Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great, isn't it, to be able to be here and worship God together. As I was thinking during the week, how was I going to start this morning's service? I was reading the Psalms and this verse came to me, and I think it's a cracking verse, this. Give thanks to the Lord. Why? For he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Isn't that a great verse? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And this morning we've come, haven't we, to say thank you to God for the good things that he's done for us. And this morning we're going to come around the Lord's table. We'll do it slightly differently this morning. But God is here, isn't he? And it's great as we just think on the things of him, that he is faithful. His love endures for how long? Forever. Hallelujah. We're going to start our service this morning by singing a great hymn. It's Jesus is Lord. Creation's voice proclaims it. For by his power, each tree and flower was planned and made. Let's stand and sing together. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning that we can come and we can say, Jesus, you are Lord. You are Lord of everything. Lord of our lives, Lord of creation, Lord of absolutely everything. Give us a great time this morning as we step into your presence. Amen. Notices you will have seen on the notice sheet. There are just a couple of extra things that I want to just bring to your attention. This Wednesday, the 21st, 7:30, is our members meeting. So if you remember, please do come along. Please begin to pray. We'll have a great time as we meet together and as we just talk about this fellowship and the things potentially that may well happen in the future. We need you guys to come along and get involved, and we can talk these things through and just enjoy each other's company and enjoy God together. God is here even in our members' meetings. So please be praying for that, and please be here this coming Wednesday the 21st. And I just want to say thank you this morning for last weekend. As you know, it was our harvest weekend last weekend. Thank you to all who provided. There were 3 trolleys full of provision that have gone to the food bank in Kettering. Hallelujah. That's great, isn't it? And to all those that helped to prepare our harvest lunch, thank you also. It was a great time, wasn't it, of us here sharing together. That's what it's about, isn't it? Us as a fellowship being able to share together. And I hope we have lots more of those times of us just together sharing with one another and with God. Let's come together in prayer now for a minute or so. And then we're going to talk about God making me. Heavenly Father, we come this morning as we are. We've all come from different places through the week. Some may well have had a difficult week. Some may well have had an easy week. But Lord, whatever the circumstance we find ourselves in this morning, I thank you that you are the God who is in control. You are the God that loves us. And Lord, as we look around our world, we remember the things that are going on. We still remember Ukraine and the stories that we're hearing there. Father, just bring peace to that nation. And also we continue to remember Pakistan and the floods that are going on there too. Father, we know that overall, you're in control, even though when it doesn't look like it. And so, Lord, be with those this morning that have lost everything, that have lost homes, houses, and loved ones. Just wrap around them with your love. And Lord, we particularly remember our royal family this morning as they prepare for the difficult day tomorrow of finally saying goodbye to Her Majesty the Queen, and for the whole country as we mourn together. Father, as the funeral service takes place, I pray that you will be evident in the things that are said and the things that are done. And the whole nation, as we come together, will not just see mourners, that they will get a glimpse of you. That as the procession goes ahead and the service takes place, that we will see you in amongst the things that are going on. And Lord, for our government as well, our new government in many respects, Lord, I just pray for godly wisdom, that as they lead this country, that you too will be in the midst of things that have gone on. And closer to home, Lord, we remember our youngsters as they've gone back to school and they've gone back to universities and maybe starting university for the first time. Just be with them. And for our fellowship here and for those that are here that are not well or that need a touch from you. You know them. You know where they are. Be with them this very hour. And Lord, give us a great time this morning. We want to take away something new from you. Allow your Holy Spirit to just anoint us all. In your name. Amen. And God made me. Does anybody know what that is? Any techies here this morning that can tell me what that is? There's always one, isn't there? What is it, Matt? It is. It's a PC video graphics card. Quite a powerful one, that, as you can tell by the two massive fans on the front. And the giveaway really was the HDMI port that's on the side. Any of you that know anything about HDMI? What about that? Anybody know what that is? It is a circuit board, you're right. But anybody know what it does? Or what it should do? Matt will have the answer. Yeah, here goes, Matt. Yeah, I know. Anybody else know other than Matt? Yes, it is. That is a sound card. All right? And the giveaway really was the red, the blue, the yellow, and the white. There, which is your composite audio, for those of you that know anything about composite audio. All right, so we're warming up now. What about that? Does anybody know what that is? And if you've got a PC, that might give you a clue. No? That is a network card, very good. And the final one, which I think could be the most difficult if you don't know anything about PCs, what is that? Anyone any ideas? Isaac, do you know what that is? It is a stick of memory. Yes, it is a memory card that goes into a PC. Now, all these things have got something in common. They all slot into a PC in some way, shape or form. And they all have their own unique function. Video, so we can see what's going on. Sound, so we can hear what's going on. Network, so things can come in from the outside world. And memory. We all need some of that, don't we? Memory. But if you look at them, they all have a distinct role to play. Just like you and me. We are all special. And we all have something distinct and unique to offer. But on their own, they are completely useless. And even together like that, they're not much use. They need one other component. Anybody know what that is? You need one of those. That is a memory board. That is, that is a motherboard for a PC. And all these bits slot into the motherboard. And just like you and me, we have our own function and thing to do, we need something to collectively bring us together. A motherboard, the church, here. We all have a part to play, and we can do it as part of the church. Now, there's one other thing that's really, really vital. So you've got these individual unique bits, and you've plugged them into your motherboard, but it's still no good without one other thing. What do you think that is that we need? Who said that? Oh, David, well done. We need power. It's got to be plugged in. It is no good. It's just a hunk of metal and chips and wires and resistors and other bits and pieces until you actually apply the power. And we are special. We all have a part to play. And there's a great verse from Ephesians chapter 3, and it says this. Paul says, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. And once that happens, once we get the power, once we're switched on, Christ will make his home in our hearts as we trust in him. And our roots will grow down into God's love and keep us strong. Isn't that a great verse? We need power. We need God's power in our lives. We need the Holy Spirit inside of us to do the things that God has for us to do. And he has a job for each and every one of you. So the next time you turn on your computer, your laptop, your phone, whatever device it happens to be, remember, there are things inside that make it work. But it's no good without power. The music group are going to come now, and we're just going to have a time of worship. We're going to sing two or three songs together. Feel free to stand. If you want to dance, you can dance. We're going to start with Praise Him on the Trumpet. Okay, just to get us going. And we're just going to enjoy a sense of God's presence this morning. So stand, sit. Let's just come into a time of worship, and we're just going to sing a few songs. Thanks, guys.
Praise Him on the trumpet with the sultry heart. Praise Him on the tuba and the dance. Praise Him, stringing instruments too. Praise Him on the loud cymbals. Praise Him on the loud cymbals. Everything that has been, praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
This is the table, not of the church, but of the Lord. It is to be made ready for those who love him and who want to love him more. So come, if you have much faith and if you have little. If you've been here often and if you've not been here for a long time. If you've tried to follow and if you've failed. Come. Not because it is I who invite you, it is our Lord. It is his will that those who want him should meet him here. Let's pray together, and I'll ask the service to come up as I pray. Lord Jesus, when we were nothing, you made us something. When we had no name and no faith, and no future, you called us your children. When we lost our way or turned away, you did not abandon us. When we came back to you, your arms opened wide in welcome. And look, you prepare a table for us offering not just bread, not just wine, but your very self, so that we may be filled, forgiven, healed, blessed, and made new again. You are worth all our pain and all our praise. So now in gratitude, we join together and share this meal, remembering you, Jesus, and what you accomplished for us. Amen. Paul writes in Corinthians, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" And I would invite you this morning, as we share around this table, to take the bread as it's offered. And then, as the juice comes round, we're going to retain the cup and we're going to drink together. Let's remember the things that our Lord Jesus has done for us. Let's drink together and give thanks. Lord, we thank you that it is indeed the things that you accomplished at Calvary, that broken body, that shed blood, that washes us whiter than snow. You sacrificed yourself in our place. And for that, I'll be forever grateful. And I thank you, Father, for doing that for me. Amen. Our reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew. And Dawn's going to come. She's going to read it to us.
So the reading this morning is taken from Matthew 13, verses 24 to 30, and it's entitled The Parable of the Wheat and Weeds. Here is another story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night, as the workers slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat, then slipped away. When the crop began to grow, the produce grew, the weeds also grew. The farmer's workers went to him and said, "Sir, the field where you planted that good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from?" "An enemy has done this," the farmer exclaimed. "Should we pull out the weeds?" they asked. "No," he replied, "you'll uproot the wheat if you do. Let both grow until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles and burn them, and to put the wheat in the barn."
I share a few thoughts from that parable. We're going to sing a great hymn. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
seated. Did you know that God can speak to you absolutely anywhere? Well, it's true. And God spoke to me yesterday, believe it or not. We spent the day or the afternoon with my mum and dad yesterday, and anyone who knows anything about mum and dad knows that they love garden centres. And we was at a garden centre yesterday afternoon, and I needed to find the toilet. And as I was wandering around, I saw this. Gentlemen to the left, because ladies are always right. And believe it or not, God spoke to me when I read that. Not about dividing the church, as I see husbands look at wives and wives look at husbands, but a thought dropped into my head that God is always right. Amen? It's not just the ladies. God is always right. And I want you to remember that as we just look at this parable this morning, that these words of Jesus, even though he said some fairly controversial things, he was always right. So today we're going to begin a series looking at some of the parables Jesus told. And we really continue where Simon left off last week at Harvest. And I guess we should begin by asking the question, what is a parable? Whenever anybody asks me that, it takes me back many years to my Sunday school days, where my Sunday school teacher said that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And I never see Jesus just telling a story for entertainment value. And very often, as in this case, he had to provide further explanation to the story he was telling. And if we read on a bit, you'll see the disciples asked him, well, what the heck did you mean? And he had to explain it. And very often the disciples, they didn't get it. And so the first thing I really want to say this morning, that it's okay to say to God, look, Lord, I don't understand what's going on here. I'm not sure what you're telling me regarding this situation. Please explain it to me. Give me a word from you. Provide me with some clarity. Just let me know it's going to be okay. Have you ever prayed like that? I have. And sometimes it seems that this type of prayer is all that I'm praying. But God knows our heart, and he answers prayer. Reminds me of a couple of verses from Romans chapter 8. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. So even when we don't know what or how to pray, God still has our best interests at heart. And when we align our will with his, all things work together for the good. Amen? Do you believe that this morning? That all things work together for the good of those that love him and are called according to his purposes. How do I know that for certain? Well, just look at the parable we read earlier. God only plants good seed. We read right at the beginning, didn't we? The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. God only plants good seed. And we know from Jesus' explanation of this parable to the disciples that he was talking about himself being the farmer who plants us, that's you and me, into the world we see around us, his field. Now, I don't want to take this out of context, but it struck me that the parable didn't say that God planted trees or plants. He didn't have a greenhouse to pot on his seeds and get them ready for planting in the field. They didn't need to be kept in a confined or special atmosphere to grow. They were sown straight from the packet, straight to the field. Just like us. Have you ever thought that God has planted you in a specific location to bear fruit in and around the vicinity that he has put you in? And you've been called here this morning and a part of this fellowship because God has put you here. And yes, you can move around, but if you don't put your roots down somewhere, you're not likely to grow and bear the fruit that God wants you to. Of course, God sometimes does move us on, but it's not something to be taken lightly. So you and I are expected to grow and eventually bear fruit. The things of God are always for our good. Psalm 33. But the Lord's plans stand firm forever. His intentions can never be shaken. What a verse to hold on to. The Lord's plans stand firm forever. His intentions can never be shaken. The second thing I want to say from this parable, and actually it was the first thing that actually jumped out to me as I read. Isn't it amazing how when you read scripture, something jumps out at you? And it's something you're not expecting very often. But it's great, isn't it, when God speaks to us in that way? Hallelujah. Are we awake this morning? Good. Because I'm going to go through this platform again if we're not careful. Okay. This is what jumped out to me as I read. It all went wrong when the workers slept. But that night, as the workers slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat, then slipped away. And this is a real reminder, I think, that we're not to become sleepwalking Christians. Not just going through the motions. We need to keep our eyes permanently fixed on Jesus and ensure we stay on the path that he has for us. And we cannot decide to just be Sunday Christians, coming to church today and then waiting for our next fix in a week's time. What does 1 Peter 5:8 say? Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of sufferings that you are. You are me are not alone. We need to look out for each other. And as the enemy will always try and thwart God's plans. And how much more so when we are starting something new. And I believe God has got some great things in store for us here at Desborough. Do you believe that? And as we move forward in the things that God has for us, I can tell you as sure as eggs are eggs that the enemy will try and thwart the plans that God has for us. So we need to stay vigilant. And one of the best ways that we can look out for each other is to ensure that we spend time together with each other. And I would really encourage you this morning to become part of a home group. This is a place where you can be nurtured and continue to grow. And it doesn't matter whether you've been a Christian for 5 minutes or 50 plus years. There's always something else that God wants to share with you. And a small group allows you to explore this informally and gives you the opportunity to share your heart with others. And I guarantee you that you will see your Christian walk grow and flourish as you meet together, whether that be in a home, at church, online, in a coffee shop, or dare I even say it, down the pub. What does Hebrews 10 say? And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but what? Encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And as we look around at the world around us, we might imagine that Christ will return any time now. Wars, famine, disease, pandemics, earthquakes and floods, to name just a few catastrophes that the world is facing. But if we're careful, or not careful, we can just major on these negative things, can't we? We can look around us and say, woe is me. But you know, there is also so much good going on too. We actually, as Christians, have so much to praise God for. Take this time of mourning for the Queens, for example. Although it's a sad time for many, and tomorrow is undoubtedly going to be a very difficult day, there have been so many public tributes where her life has been celebrated and her faith in Jesus has been mentioned as her foundation for everything she's done. And that same Jesus that Her Majesty believed in is here for you and for me this morning. No matter our age or our circumstance, we can stand and say, Jesus is King and I will extol him. Give him the glory and honour his name. He reigns on high, enthroned in the heavens. Word of the Father, exalted for us. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Now, just to bring us back down to earth for a second, it's also worth noting at this point that it was not immediately obvious that there was a problem. The weeds, or tares as some translations put it, were very difficult to tell apart. It wasn't until the crops were producing grain that the workers saw the weeds. And this is a real reminder to us too, that we are living in a fallen world. And how easy is it to get sidetracked or get involved in things that on the surface look absolutely fine, but in reality can actually do us harm. Maybe not physically, but definitely spiritually. The workers in the field had been tending and nurturing both the weeds and the wheat. And if you look at your own lives for a second, ask yourself this. What am I tending? What am I nurturing? What is it that I am cultivating? There are lots of weeds that actually look very beautiful, with lovely flowers. And there are lots of lovely people in the world who are heading for a lost eternity without Jesus, unless we simply get alongside and love them like Jesus does. And the third thing I just want to share with you from this parable is this. It's a waiting game. The workers asked, should we pull out the weeds? Should we pull out the weeds? And it's a really timely reminder, isn't it? That the Lord says this, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. How often have you said, well, it was a good idea at the time, or, with the benefit of hindsight, I might have done that differently. I know I have. You see, the workers wanted to sort the problem and thought they had a plan. It seemed the obvious thing to do. We can get rid of this problem. Just pull the weeds out. Job done. But God had different ideas. Hallelujah. And I'm so thankful that God has different ideas to me. Because very often, my ideas are rubbish. What did God say? Let the harvesters deal with it. And we know from the explanation later in the chapter that God was talking about the end times, judgment day, when good, those that have accepted Jesus as Lord and Saviour, are finally separated from the bad, those that simply haven't. And let me tell you that there are many people who've never been bad in this life, worked hard, been generous and kind, and maybe have many other traits that you would expect in a good person. But alas, will not end up in heaven simply because they've never met Jesus personally or simply rejected his offer of salvation. And the reverse is also true. You're going to find people in heaven who have done bad stuff here on earth, but somehow found Jesus as their own personal saviour. Take the criminal on the cross next to Jesus. Remember me, he said. And that reply from Jesus, as he hung there bleeding and dying, I assure you, today you'll be with me in paradise. What a fantastic line for Jesus to say that. It doesn't matter what you've done wrong. Today, you're going to be with me in paradise. God is a forgiving God. After all, he's forgiven our sins, isn't he? Sacrificed himself in our place on the cross. And it's not up to us to decide who's going to be saved. It's not. Listen to what Paul says in his letter to Timothy. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. For there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Jesus Christ. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. You still haven't got it. He gave his life to purchase freedom. Freedom for everyone. That includes you and it includes me. Wow, wow, wow. Because of Jesus, we have freedom. We're set free from the power of sin and death. In Jesus, we have a sure and certain hope for our future and eternity to spend with him. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Is your hope this morning placed in Jesus? Do you know him personally? And I would urge you, if you can't say a definite yes to that, if it's, well, I'm not sure, or I think so, then find someone at the end of the service to talk to and pray with you. And if you are certain, then also find someone to talk to and pray with over coffee. Let's share together with one another our stories of how good God has been to us. Because he's a good God, isn't he? And you see, God doesn't want anyone to perish. And he's sown us as Christians into this world to produce fruit. Let's pray that God will keep us on the right track, making us vigilant to the things going on around us, and that he will use each one of us in service for his kingdom over the weeks and the months ahead. May God bless you all this morning. Amen. We're going to finish with that hymn. Jesus is King, and I will extol him. Give him the glory and honour his name. He reigns on high, throned in the heavens. Word of the Father, exalted for us. Let's stand and sing our final song together. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory ever and ever. Amen.